If you have your Bible with you tonight, would you turn with me, please, to the book of the Acts of the Apostles and to Acts chapter 26. Book of the Acts of the Apostles and Acts chapter 26, familiar portion of God's Word, where we have the great Apostle Paul before King Agrippa. And I want just to read some verses, commencing our reading at verse 12. And Paul was before Agrippa. Paul very readily, very quickly, began to give his personal testimony as to how the Lord Jesus Christ met with him and saved him. And we take up the story in verse 12. Paul says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 23. May God bless to us the public reading of his own inspired and his infallible word. Let's just bow a wee word of prayer as we turn again to God's word. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for thy presence already with us. We thank thee for this season of grace in Dromore as the gospel is preached night after night in the gospel mission. We thank thee for those who have been in night by night who have heard thy word. We thank thee for every child of God who has been blessed as they have heard again the old, old story which thine God has ever knew. And our Father, we just pray now in the closing minutes of our meeting that thou wouldst draw very strangely near. O God, shelter us underneath the precious blood about which we have been singing. Take away every distracting thought, and our Father, move from seat to seat and from heart to heart. And should there be someone in our gathering tonight and they're still a stranger to grace and to our God, that this may be, as it were, the red letter night in their life, when they will come as a sinner to Jesus. Lord, should there be one backslidden in heart or in life, May they return unto the Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that you've promised that you will abundantly pardon. Lord, help us just now, we pray. I pray, Lord, that you'll cleanse me in the precious blood of the Lamb. Touch my lips with a live coal from off the altar. And help me to speak well about my Saviour, the Lord Jesus. For he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Be with us now, Lord, as we wait on in thy presence. For we ask all these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. As we've said in Acts chapter 26, the great apostle Paul is giving his testimony, and he's speaking to Agrippa and to many others who were in that courtroom that day. Many who listened intently as to what Saul of Tarsus, the apostle Paul, had to say. You know, in many, many ways, Paul's testimony has become synonymous with wherever the gospel of Christ is preached, so much so that even if someone changes their mind, and whether it be in the field of politics or sport or business or commerce or whatever it might be, people say they've had a road to Damascus experience. They have been turned right around. They have completely changed their mind. And of course, the testimony of Paul is such a wonderful testimony. And in fact, when Paul was writing to young Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 16, Paul says to Timothy, speaking about how the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, he says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." And Paul is even saying to Timothy, you know, my testimony, Timothy, the fact that I was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the people of God, and I was going down to Damascus, I was going to take them as I had taken them before, and put them into prison, and testify against them, and that many might be tortured, many might even lose their very life. But then the Lord appeared to me, and I came to know him, the one I persecuted, whose church I persecuted. And I believe Paul never got over that, you know, because he makes reference to the fact that he was the chief of sinners, and that before his conversion, he had persecuted the church of God. And it always seemed to be hard for him, and maybe he struggled with that in his life. But what a wonderful translation, what a wonderful difference there was. And I have heard many, many testimonies down through the years. If God spares me until December, I'll be 46 years ordained to the ministry in the Free Presbyterian Church. And I had been in the Free Presbyterian Church before that for about 5 years, so I've heard many, many testimonies. Heard many, many people tell of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for them, how he came into their heart and life. And as old Nicholson used to say about the gospel hymn, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart." Nicholson used to get the people to sing the chorus, "Since Jesus came into this town, the devil's been wearing a frown. Many hearts have been changed, many homes rearranged, since Jesus came into this town." And that's so true, that's so wonderful, for wherever the gospel of Christ goes, men and women, young people, boys and girls, their lives are changed, their destiny is changed, their whole eternity is changed. And that's a wonderful thing in the gospel of Christ. As I was reading down this passage of scripture about Saul and his wonderful testimony, there were some things that just, they're right there on the surface, and I was drawn to them. And I want you to notice there in verse 13, Paul says, and he's telling Agrippa, I was going down to Damascus. I had letters of authority to bring Christians bound, men and women, boys and girls. But he says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. In this pattern conversion, in this classic textbook conversion that shows us what conversion to Christ really means. You notice, first of all, Paul says, I saw. There was a vision that Paul had, and it came unexpectedly. He's traveling down to Damascus. He's on the last day of his journey. He's riding upon a beast, and a light shines from heaven, completely unexpectedly. As we would say, just out of the blue. And the light is so strong, the Bible says it's above the brightness of the sun. And remember, when his conversion is recorded, it says at midday. So it's brighter than the midday sun. And Saul of Tarsus fell from off the beast on which he was riding, and he fell to his knees, and he cried unto the Lord. Sometimes people make fun of Christians, and they say, oh, we saw the light. But thank God we have saw the light. Thank God we've been translated, as the Bible says here, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. And thank God for every man or woman in this meeting tonight who can say, thank God it was on a certain date, a certain day, a certain time, when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like Saul of Tarsus, it's like just seeing that light. Maybe like Saul, it came so unexpectedly. I put it to you tonight, men and women, that conversion to Christianity, conversion to the people who were called the people of the way, it was the last thing on Saul of Tarsus' mind. He didn't think, when he was heading down, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against God's people and going to bring them bound to Jerusalem and cast them into jail. He didn't think that he would become a Christian. That's the way it happened. And maybe, dear friend, you have attended some of these meetings in the mission, and in reality, you becoming a Christian, you getting born again, you having a conversion experience, it is the last thing on your mind. Maybe you've come because a friend, a loved one, gave you an invitation to come, and they've asked you to come, and so you've been very gracious, and you've come along with them to hear the word of God in the gospel meeting. But if you're honest, you maybe say, well, preacher, you know, the last thing on my mind. And yet that's the way it happened. You know, Saul stood by when a young man called Stephen was martyred. And Saul heard Stephen preach and gave his defense. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 1, Stephen preaches the word of God, and he says, men, brethren, and fathers, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Sharon. That's just the way it happened in Saul's case. But that's what happened to Abraham, the man Saul would have called the father of the faithful, the man of the covenant, the man in whom the promises of God were given. But when Abraham was a pagan, heathen idolater, worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars, an heir of the Chaldees, Stephen says, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. And that's what happens. The night I was saved, I didn't go to the meeting to get saved. I went to the meeting because my cousin had asked me to go to the meeting. I had other places I wanted to go that night, but he had asked me and pleaded with me, and I worked with them, and then I promised them I would go. And getting saved or coming to Christ, that was the last thing in my mind. Until, as it were, God, the God of glory, took a dealing in my heart and in my life through the witness of the Word of God. And Saul watched that young man, Stephen, and he heard him preach, and he heard him relate the whole story, the whole history of the children of Israel. And then he saw the very glory of God on the face of Stephen. And he heard Stephen pray. And as they took stones, and they stoned Stephen to death, Stephen, so much like his master, the Lord Jesus Christ, Stephen kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, the Bible says he fell asleep in Christ. And the next verse says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. But that day on the road to Damascus, unexpectedly, this light shone from heaven. And Saul heard that prayer of Stephen. I believe God answered Stephen's prayer. As Saul of Tarsus minded the garments of the people who stoned Stephen to death, and Stephen prayed, Lord, lay not that sin to their charge. Saul was spoken to, and it convicted Saul. But now God broke into his life. I don't know who all has prayed for you, but I know that here in Dromore, Pre-Presbyterian Church, God's people have been praying. They've been praying for men and women, for loved ones, for friends, for family, for neighbours, for the whole locality, that God in his grace and in his mercy would bring them in. And that even they might see that vision in the Word of God. Even should it be unexpectedly, that God would take a dealing with your heart and soul tonight. Saul says, I saw in the way a light from heaven. You notice verse 14. It says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? There was a vision that came to Saul unexpectedly. And then there was a voice that spoke to Saul unmistakably. He says, I heard a voice. And that voice spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue. Here he is, Saul of Tarsus, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he testifies, of the tribe of Benjamin. And he goes on to talk about how he was circumcised on the eighth day. And after the most strict ascent of his religion, he lived as a Pharisee. And as touching the law of God and the ceremonial law, he says, I was blameless. And God spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue. No, God called him personally. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, does not remind you of the little child Samuel in the Old Testament scriptures? And he thought Eli had called him. And again he thought Eli had called. Eli says, if you hear the voice again, Samuel, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That the Lord of glory, who appeared to Abraham, the friend of the faithful, and the God of glory, who appeared here to Saul of Tarsus, he stood, as it were, one day at a little child's bedside, and he called Samuel. Samuel. Thank God tonight, God calls men and women personally. You can be in a great crowd and you can feel absolutely alone. And you can be in a gospel meeting and there could be many other people sitting round about you, but yet you know that the message is from God to you. And God is speaking to you personally. And God was speaking to Saul powerfully. God said, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. He heard this voice. And God was taking a dealing in his heart and life. And God speaks to men and women personally. And they realize, they become unsettled and they become unsure and they begin to think about life and death and eternity, and they begin to realize if God were to call me out into eternity tonight, I would be lost without God, without Christ for all eternity. And they begin to realize that someday, somehow, I must make that preparation. But God speaks personally and he speaks powerfully in your heart, and sometimes God has spoken powerfully. Maybe through the death of a loved one. Someone you love so dearly. And they were taken out into God's great eternity. And God was speaking to you personally. And he was speaking powerfully through that bereavement, through that great loss. And you realize that we're not here forever. Someone once said, all men think themselves immortal, but we realize, and we would be fools if we didn't realize, that every day in this world we read the obituary columns and the newspapers, we see the hearse drive through the city or the town or the village. We see men and women walk in a funeral procession. Every town, every village, every hamlet, we drive through there. There's a cemetery, there's a graveyard where our loved ones are laid to rest. And how foolish we would be if we didn't realize that one day we too are going to die. Sometimes God speaks powerfully. But you know, God speaks persistently. This is not the first time you've heard the gospel message. This is not the first time you've heard the word of God being preached. But beloved, it could be the last time. I remember one night singing and preaching in an Orange Hall down the Ards Peninsula. And there was a man there that night. As far as I know, he didn't know Christ as a Savior. But he really enjoyed the meeting. He enjoyed the singing, the hymns, and the preaching. And he talked to his friends, even on the way home, about what he had heard and how you need to be right with God. I got a phone call the next morning. It was a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. That dear man was called out into God's eternity. God speaks, and he speaks, and he calls. The Lord Jesus said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. When the Lord Jesus commenced his ministry, he preached the message, repent. He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And thank God for the glorious gospel that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Paul says, I saw, there was a vision unexpectedly. There was a voice of the Savior unmistakably calling to Saul of Tarsus to come to Christ. Maybe the Lord Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit and through the Word of God tonight is calling you. The old hymn says he's calling you from a life of wasted years. The old harvest hymns talk about bringing men in from the fields of sin. And the Lord calls to say sometimes very powerfully, sometimes very, very simply. I heard about a young couple and their lovely little girl, little child. And, you know, the little child began to grow up, went to Sunday school. And one day the little one came home and she told her mum and her dad that she had trusted Jesus as her Saviour, that she had got saved. And her parents weren't saved. And, you know, so simply through the, as the Bible says, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, through the witness of a little child. Oh, the old chorus says, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 can enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For if that child believeth on Christ the Son of God, that little child receiveth salvation through his blood. And it wasn't very long until mommy and daddy, through the little words of a little child, sought Christ and were saved. You notice verse 19. Paul speaks to King Agrippa in Acts 26. He says, after he has spoken about the Lord revealing himself to him, speaking to him, he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What's he saying? He said, I saw a light. I heard a voice. And then he's saying, I obeyed. I ventured out. And I did so unconditionally. Oh, here I was. Paul could say, I was a Pharisee. I was a religious zealot. I was a religious bigot. But when Jesus Christ spoke to me on the road to Damascus, I fell on my knees. And I cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. They ventured out. There's an old bishop many years ago, the Church of England, who used to preach at the Keswick Convention. And he used to say that every morning when he awoke from sleep, he says, I made my bed an altar. And before I got out of bed, he says, I called on the Lord. And I said, Lord, I am presenting my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. It is only my reasonable service. And he would pray and say with him, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And in one of his sermons, he said, give your life to Christ. Obey him. He says, Have no reserve, no reservations. Just give your heart and life completely to him. And then he says, at the end of life's journey, you'll have no regrets. Isn't that what Paul said, writing to the Philippians, Philippians 1 and 21? He says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, the Apostle James says, even to believers, he says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. And maybe you have heard the word and heard the message time and time again. And God says to you tonight, just like Paul, do not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul says, I was not disobedient. I obeyed. I heard the voice of Jesus say, says the hymn writer, come on to me and rest. Will you obey the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? When Jesus walked by the seaside, and he saw Peter and James and John, and he called them to follow him. And he says, I will make you to become fishers of men. The Bible says immediately they left their nets and they left their boats and they began to follow Jesus. When Jesus saw Matthew sitting there at the receipt of custom, he said, come and follow me. And Matthew got up and he followed Christ. In other words, they obeyed. They obeyed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's not enough to hear. It's not enough to know. But there must be obedience. Oftentimes, even on the doorstep, we talk to men and women, we invite them to services, we invite them to Christ, and you'll find that in this little province of Ulster, thank God, there are still men and women who were brought up in Sunday school and who were taught the things of God. And they can tell you the stories of Jesus. And they maybe even want to argue with some of the things that the Bible says, but they know about Jesus. But they don't know Jesus. Maybe you've heard the word of God and you've heard the invitation and you've heard that the Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And you've heard that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But you've never come to Christ and you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. But you've never opened the door. And I'm asking you tonight, I'm pleading with you tonight, to obey the voice of God. And just as Paul did so many years ago, completely, absolutely, unconditionally, he threw himself into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he says there in verse 22. With this I close. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, and saying on other things than those that the prophets and Moses did say should come. He says, I saw, I heard, I obeyed, and he says, I continue. He followed a vocation in his life, a purpose, a plan in his life, and he was unashamed as he did so. Sometimes people say, Fred, you know, I would get saved, but I don't think I could keep it. And they're absolutely right, they couldn't keep it. But thank God, the one who does the saving is the one who'll do the keeping. And thank God, just like Paul, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And when you think about all the things that happened in Paul's life and the great missionary journeys and the times he was imprisoned and the times he was shipwrecked and the kings and the judges and the magistrates that he stood before and he witnessed to, and now he says, King Agrippa, I continue unto this day. And then he could write to young Timothy. And he could say, Timothy, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to me, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He continued, unashamed of the gospel of Christ, until that day when he sealed the testimony of his lips with the blood of his veins. And thank God he went home to be with Christ for all eternity. If you come to Christ tonight, the Lord doesn't promise you an easy road. It's not an easy road. We're travelling to heaven, says a hymn writer, for many are the thorns on the way. But Jesus walks beside me, and he brightens the journey, and he lifts the burden. He helps every day. He promises, he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we might boldly say, the Lord is our helper. And you can get saved, you can be converted. And on the authority of this book, if you come like Saul of Tarsus, and you commit your way and your life into Christ's keeping and his care, you will continue. He will keep you till the river rolls its waters at your feet. And then he'll bear you safely over where the loved ones and the Saviour you will meet. But friend, you must obey the gospel. You must come. Because another apostle said, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? Peter says, I cannot conceive what that awful end would be for men and women who are disobedient to the heavenly vision, who discard the heavenly voice, who just do their own thing and go their own way. I pray you'll come to Christ tonight, where your servants for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake.